Really?
What is he doing here?
Sereni stood in the doorway of Kaiyan's kitchen, watching Kalu speak animatedly with Roile and Kaiyan.
Roile invited him for some reason.
Has Roile gone mad? What if that cursed doula is a spy?
A spy for whom? I don't think your pompous king has the political acumen to hire spies. And let me assure you, no matter how much I exasperate you, princess, I bother Fjordelz even more. That Giorn would rather stab himself in the chest than pay me for information.
Sereni flushed with embarrassment.
I think, Sereni, you will find Citizen Kalu's opinions helpful. This man sees things differently from Aireline's, and he also has a fresh opinion of events in K.E. I seem to remember that you yourself used a similar argument when you first joined us. Do not discount Kalu's value because he happens to be a little more eccentric than you find comfortable.
Sereni frowned, but allowed herself to be rebuked. The Duke's observations held weight. It would be helpful to have a new perspective. She entered the room, followed by Lukel, and they both took their seats at the table. Despite her insistences that he not prepare dinner, Kaiyan had obviously been unable to let this many people congregate without giving them something to eat. Sereni smiled. She doubted that the other treasonous conspiracies enjoyed gourmet snacks. A few moments later, Ahane waddled in. He plopped himself down in his customary seat and proceeded to attack the crackers.
We're all here, then. I trust you all have given our predicament much thought. Does anyone want to start?
I will. Maybe Talrai I can be persuaded not to convert to Shudareth.
I thought we discussed this, Ahane. Talrai I isn't debating whether or not to convert. He's waiting to see how much money he can get out of Wern.
If only we had more troops. With a proper army, we could intimidate Talrai I. Sereni, what chance is there of getting aid from Teod?
Not much. Remember, my father swore himself to Shudareth. Besides, Teod has a wonderful navy, but few ground troops. Our country has a small population. We survive by sinking our enemies before they land.
There are resistance fighters in Duladel. They harass caravans occasionally.
All eyes turned toward Kalu, who raised his hands, palms forward.
Trust me, Lord Shudan, you do not want their help. The men of which you speak are mostly former Republicans like myself. They can duel one another with fine proficiency, but a sire isn't much good against a trained soldier, especially if he has five friends beside him. The resistance only survives because the Fjordelz are too lazy to chase it out of the swamps.
I thought they were hiding in the caves of the Duladan steppes.
There are several pockets of them.
I think we should bring the people into it. Talrai has indicated that he intends to maintain the plantation system. If we encourage the common people to our cause, they should be willing to rise against him.
It could work. Lady Sereni's plan to sharecrop my peasants has given them a taste of freedom, and they've grown far more self-confident over the last few months. But it would take a great deal of time. You don't train men to fight overnight.
Agreed. Talrai will be Dorethi long before we finish, and Raythan's proclamation will be law.
I could pretend to be Dorethi for a while, if only while I'm planning the king's demise.
If we give Shudareth that kind of foothold in Aerilan, we'll never be free of it.
It's only a religion, Sereni. I think we should focus on real problems.
You don't think Shudareth is a real problem, Ahane? Why don't you try and explain that to Jindo and Duladel?
She's right. Fjordan embraced Shudareth as a vehicle for domination. If those priests convert Aerilan, then Wern will rule here no matter who we put on the throne.
Then raising an army of peasants is out.
Too time-consuming.
Besides, I don't think you want to throw this country into war. I've seen what a bloody revolution can do to a nation. It breaks the people's spirit to fight one another. The men in the Elantra City Guard might be fools, but they are still your countrymen. Their blood would be on your hands.
Sereni looked up at the comment. Something about Kalu made her increasingly suspicious.
Then what? We can't fight Talrai, and we can't wait for him to convert. What do we do?
We could kill him.
Well?
It has merits. Assassinating Talrai would solve a lot of problems.
Sereni felt a bitter taste in her mouth as she studied the men. They knew what she knew. She had determined long before the meeting began that this was the only way.
One man's death to save a nation.
It seems the only alternative.
Perhaps. Though I wonder if we aren't underestimating the people of Aerilon.
We already discussed this. We don't have enough time to rally the peasants.
Not just the peasants, young Lukel, but the nobility. Have you not sensed their hesitance to back Telrai? Have you not seen the discomfort in their eyes? A king with no support is no king at all.
And the guard?
I wonder if we couldn't turn them. Certainly they could be persuaded to see that what they have done is not right.
You had become we. Serini's brow furrowed. She almost had it. There was something familiar about his words.
It's an interesting suggestion.
The guard and the nobility support Telrai because they don't see another alternative. Lord Roile was shamed by the failed wedding, and Lady Serini was thrown into Elantris. Now, however, the embarrassment has been removed. Perhaps if we can show the guard the ultimate result of their decision, occupation by Fjordan and a virtual enslavement of our people, they will realize that they supported the wrong man. Give men an honest choice, and I believe they will choose wisely.
That was it. Serini knew that faith somewhere, that pure belief in the basic goodness of all men.
You?
Riodan looked into her shocked, wide eyes and knew that she knew. Somehow, despite their short time together, she had recognized him when his best friends could not.
Serini! Princess, are you all right?
No, my lord. I don't think so. I think we need a break.
We haven't really been going that long.
Serini silenced him with a look, and no one else braved her wrath.
A break it is.
Good. I have some haggish meat wraps cooling out back. I'll go get them.
Serini was so flustered that she barely even considered chastising her uncle for preparing a meal when she had expressly told him not to. She shot Kalu a telling look, then stalked away from the table, apparently on her way to the privy. She waited in Kaiyan's study for a moment before the hapless imposter finally strolled around the corner. Serini grabbed his shirt and all but threw him against the wall.
Spirit! What in the name of gracious Domai are you doing here?
Not so loudly, Serini. How do you think those men would react if they discovered they'd been sitting with an Elantrian?
But how?
Serini reached up to wiggle his nose, which was far too long to be his real one. She was surprised when her fingers passed through the tip as if it weren't there.
You were right about the Aeon, Serini. They're maps of Aerilon. All I had to do was add one line, and the entire system started working again.
One line?
The chasm. It caused the Riod. It was enough of a change in the landscape that its presence needs to be reflected in the Aeons.
It works!
Then she released his shirt and gave him a bitter punch to the side.
Ow!
You've been lying to me!
Please, no punching. My body doesn't heal, remember?
That didn't...
change when we fixed Aeon Dor? No, I'm still in Elantrian under this illusion. There's something else wrong with Aeon Dor.
Why did you lie to me? Oh, and don't say it was more fun this way.
Well... only you would consider that a valid excuse, my princess. Actually, I never got the chance to tell you. Every time I tried to approach you these last few days, you ducked away, and you ignored the letter I sent you. I couldn't just jump in front of you and drop my illusion. I actually came to Kaiyan's last night in hopes I would see you in the window.
You did?
Ask Aladon. He's back at Roile's right now eating all of the Duke's Jayadorian candy. Did you know he had a weakness for sweets?
The Duke or Galadon?
Both. Look, they're going to wonder what's taking us so long.
Let them. All the other women have been mooning over Kalu so much, it's about time I fell into line.
It really was the only way, Serini. I didn't have much choice. I had to act the part.
I think you acted it a little too well.
You have to admit, it was fun at times. I had no idea you were that good of a fencer.
My talents are plentiful, Spirit. And apparently so are yours. I had no idea you were that good of an actor. I hated you!
It's nice to feel appreciated.
Spirit let his arms wrap around her. Suddenly, she was aware of his close proximity. His body was room temperature, and the unnatural coolness was unnerving. However, rather than pulling away, She let her head rest on his shoulder.
So why did you come? You should be back in New Elantris, preparing your people. Why risk coming out into Kaye?
To find you.
Serene smiled. That was the right answer.
And to keep you all from slaughtering each other. This country certainly is a mess, isn't it?
And it's partially my fault.
Spirit reached up to put his hands on her neck, rotating her head so she could see into his eyes. His face was different, but those eyes were the same, deep and blue. How had she ever mistaken him for anyone else?
You are not allowed to berate yourself, Serene. I get enough of that from Galadon. You've done a wonderful job here, better than I could have even imagined. I assumed that these men would stop meeting after I left.
Serene paused, shaking herself from the trance of being lost in those eyes.
What was that you just said? After you left?
My two guests care to join the rest of the group.
We need to go back in, but let's just say I have something else I need to tell you once the meeting is through and we can speak more privately.
Serene nodded in a half daze. Spirit was in Kaye, and Aeon Dor worked. She walked back into the dining room and sat down at the table, and Spirit entered the room a few moments later.
Where's Ahane?
He left.
The Count claims that something he ate didn't agree with him. He stepped out.
It's impossible. There was nothing in those crackers that could have upset his stomach.
I'm sure it wasn't the crackers, Uncle. It must be something he ate before he came.
Domai knows. That man eats so much it's a wonder he doesn't end up sick every night by pure laws of probability.
Well, we should continue without him. There's no telling how long he will be indisposed.
Agreed.
Roile stood slowly, his old body looking surprisingly weak.
If you will all forgive me, I have something to say.
The nobles nodded, sensing the Duke's solemnity.
I will not lie to you. I never once debated whether or not action should be taken against Tel-Rai. He and I have spent the last 10 years as mercantile enemies. He is a flagrant, wasteful man. He will make a worse king even than Iaedon. His willingness to even consider Raythan's silly proclamation was the final proof I needed. No, my reason for demanding more time before we met was not to wonder if we should depose Tel-Rai. The reason I asked for more time was to wait for some associates of mine to arrive.
Associates?
Assassins. Men I have hired out of Fjordan. Not all the people of that country are perfectly loyal to their god. Some are sworn to gold instead.
Where are they?
Staying in an inn not far away.
But just last week you warned us against letting bloodshed advance our revolt.
The guilt was speaking, dear Serene. For I had already sent for these men. However, I have changed my mind. This young man from Dula...
Serene turned. It was not Ahane she found standing in the doorway. Instead, she was confronted by a group of armed soldiers with a well-dressed man at their front. King Tel-Rai.
You cannot simply barge in here! This is my house!
Tel-Rai stepped to the side, allowing a dozen men in Elantris City Guard uniforms to fill the room. They were followed by the portly Count Ahane.
Ahane, what have you done?
I finally got you, old man. I told you I would. Joke about how my caravans to Sworden are doing now, you cursed old idiot. We'll see how yours do while you spend the next few years in prison.
You fool! Didn't you realize when this stopped being a game? We aren't playing with fruits and silks anymore!
Protest if you will, but you have to admit, I got you. I've been waiting to do this for months. I could never get Iaedon to believe me. Can you believe that he actually thought you were incapable of betraying him? He claimed your friendship went too deep.
Oh, Ahane. You have always been so fond of acting without thought.
Serene was stunned. She couldn't move or even speak. Traitors were supposed to be men with dark eyes and sour dispositions. She couldn't connect that image with Ahane. He was arrogant and impetuous, but she liked him. How could someone she liked do something so horrible?
Soldier, give this man his punishment.
A soldier stepped forward and thrust his sword directly into Duke Roile's belly.
Thus are the judgments of your king.
No! You said prison!
Ahain rushed past Tel'Rai and knelt beside Ro'al.
I'm so sorry. What have I done?
Did I say prison? Kill these traitors. Start with the dear princess. Let it be known that this is the punishment for all those who try to usurp the throne.
No!
The soldiers started to move, and Serini found herself behind a protective wall formed by Shuden, Eondel, and Lukel. Only Eondel was armed, however, and they were faced by 10 men.
Interesting you should mention usurpers, Duke Tel'Rai. I was under the impression that the throne belonged to Iadon's family.
Serini's eyes found Spirit, or at least someone wearing Spirit's clothing. He had pale aeonic skin, sandy brown hair, and keen blue eyes. Spirit's eyes. But his face didn't show any signs of Elantris' taint. He tossed a rag onto the table, and she could see the brown stains on one side, as if he wanted them to believe he had simply wiped away his makeup to reveal a completely different face underneath.
But it cannot be!
Tel'Rai stumbled back against the wall.
Prince Raedon! No! You died! They told me you were dead!
Would you dare slay the true king of Aerilon?
The guard members stepped back, faces confused and frightened.
Men! Protect me!
Tel'Rai turned and scrambled from the room. The soldiers watched their leader flee, then unceremoniously joined him, leaving the conspirators alone. Spirit, Raedon, hopped over the table, brushing past Lukel.
Oh, Ro'al!
He shoved Ahain out of his way and knelt next to Kaiyan, the only one who had thought to try treating Ro'al's wound. Serini watched dumbly from behind, her senses paralyzed. It was obvious that Kaiyan's care would be nowhere near enough to save the Duke.
Raedon! You have returned to us!
Raedon stabbed the air with his finger. Light burst from its tip as he began to draw.
I should have known it was you. All of that silly talk about trusting the people. Can you believe I actually started to agree with you? I should have sent those assassins to do their work the moment they arrived.
You are too good a man for that, Ro'al.
Ro'al's eyes focused, perceiving for the first time the aeon that Spirit was drawing above him.
Oh, have you returned the beautiful city as well?
Spirit didn't respond, instead concentrating on his aeon. He drew differently from the way he had before, his fingers moving more dexterously and quickly. He finished the aeon with a small line near the bottom. It began to glow warmly, bathing Ro'al in its light. As Serini watched, the edges of Ro'al's wound seemed to pull together slightly. A scratch on Ro'al's face disappeared, and several of the liver spots on his scalp faded. Then the light fell away, the wound still belching blood with each futile pump of the Duke's dying heart.
Don't mind. No! It's too weak! And I haven't studied the healing modifiers. I don't know how to target just one part of the body.
Ro'al reached up with a quivering arm and grabbed Spirit's hand. The partially completed aeon faded away as the Duke's movement caused Spirit to make a mistake. Spirit did not start again, bowing his head as if weeping.
Do not cry, my boy. Your return is blessed. You cannot save this tired old body, but you can save the kingdom. I will die in peace, knowing you are here to protect it.
You did a wonderful job with me, Ro'al. Without you to watch over me, I would have turned out like my father.
No, boy. You were more like your mother from the start. Bless you.
Serini turned away as she couldn't stand to watch anymore. When she turned back, blinking the tears from her eyes, Raedon was still kneeling over the old man's corpse. Finally, he stood, turning to regard the rest of them with sad but firm eyes. Beside her, Serini felt Shuden, Eondel, and Lukel fall to their knees, bowing their heads reverently.
My king.
My husband.
He did what?
The terrified priest was too shocked by Hraithen's violent reaction to stammer out any words.
The Duke of Isle Plantation dead? By Telrai's command?
Hraithen thought about the move by the new king. He realized that the execution had been completely logical. Hraithen couldn't believe Telrai's fortune. Rawael was said to be a crafty man. Catching the Duke in the act of treason had been amazingly propitious.
There is more, my Gion Hraithen.
Go on.
Rumors have begun to spread throughout the city. They say that Prince Raedon is alive, that he has come back to reclaim his throne.
What? That's not possible. Leave me.
Hraithen sat behind his desk, dumbfounded.
Control. I can deal with this. This rumor of Raedon's return is obviously false, but it is indeed a masterful stroke.
Hraithen knew of the prince's saintly reputation. The people regarded Raedon with a level of idolizing adoration that was given only to dead men. If Serini had somehow found a lookalike, she could call him husband and continue her bid for the throne, even now that Rawael was dead.
She certainly works quickly.
Telrai's slaughter of Rawael still bothered Hraithen. Murdering the Duke without trial or incarceration would make the other nobles even more apprehensive. Hraithen rose. Perhaps it wasn't too late to convince Telrai to at least draft a warrant of execution. It would ease the aristocratic minds if they were able to read such a document. Telrai refused to see him. Hraithen stood in the waiting room again, staring down two of Telrai's guards, arms folded in front of him. The two men watched at the ground sheepishly. Apparently, something had unsettled Telrai so much that he wasn't taking any visitors at all. Hraithen didn't intend to let himself be ignored. Though he could not force his way into the room, he could make himself such a nuisance that Telrai eventually agreed to meet with him. So he had spent the last hour demanding a meeting every 5 minutes.
Soldier, ask the king if he will see me.
The soldier had already done this same routine at least a half dozen times. However, he opened the door and obeyed, going in to search out his commander. A few moments later, the man returned.
What is the meaning of this?
It wasn't the same man. The guard whipped out his sword and attacked the second guard. Suddenly, more men surged into the room, attacking the rest of the king's guards.
Curse it!
Hraithen couldn't believe it. A battle on the one night he had left his armor behind. Hraithen spun past the fighting guards and entered the room. The tapestries were in flames, and men struggled desperately in the close confines. Several guards lay dead at the far doorway. Some wore the brown and yellow of the Elantris Guard. The others were in silver and blue, the colors of Count Eondel's legion. Hraithen had to find the king. Telrai was too important to...
No!
Hraithen saw the king through the melee, burning strips of cloth dripping from the brocades above. Telrai's eyes were wild with fear as he dashed toward the open door at the back of the room. Eondel's sword found Telrai's neck before the king had taken more than a few steps. Telrai's headless corpse fell at Count Eondel's feet. The Count regarded it with grim eyes, then collapsed himself, holding a wound in his side. Hraithen stood quietly in the melee, chaos forgotten for the moment, regarding the two corpses.
So much for avoiding a bloody change in power.
It seemed unnatural to look at Elantris from the outside. Raedon belonged in the city. It was as if he stood outside of his own body, looking at it from another person's perspective. He should no more be separated from Elantris than his spirit should be separated from his body. Riordan stood with Serini atop Kaiayan's fortress-like house in the noonday sun. The merchant, showing both foresight and healthy paranoia, following the massacre 10 years before, had built his mansion more like a castle than a house. It was a compact square with straight stone walls and narrow windows, and it even stood atop a hill. The roof had a pattern of stones running along its lip, much like the battlements atop a city wall. It was against one such stone that Riordan leaned now. Serini pressed close to his side, her arms around his waist as they regarded the city. Soon after Roael's death the night before, Kaiayan had barred his doors and informed them that he had enough supplies stockpiled to last years. There was no telling how Telrai would react to Riordan's appearance. Chances were, however, that he would give up all pretense and seek Fjordel aid. The Elantris guard might have been hesitant to attack Riordan, but Fjordel troops would have no such inhibitions.
I should have figured it out. I can't believe I didn't put it together. I was even suspicious about your, meaning Rayodin's, disappearance. I assumed the king had killed you off, or at least exiled you.
He certainly would have liked to. He tried to send me away on numerous occasions, but I usually wiggled out of it somehow.
It was so obvious! The cover-up, the embarrassment. It makes perfect sense.
It's easy to see the answers once the puzzle's solved, Serini. I'm not surprised that no one connected my disappearance with Elantris. That isn't the sort of thing an Aerlene would assume. People don't talk about Elantris, and they certainly don't want to associate it with those they love. They would prefer to believe that I'd died than know that I'd been taken by the Shaeod.
But I'm not Aerlene. I don't have the same biases.
Well, you lived with them. You couldn't help being affected by their disposition. Besides, you haven't lived around Elantris. You didn't know how the Shaeod worked.
And you let me go along in ignorance. My own husband.
I gave you a clue.
Yes, about 5 minutes before you revealed yourself.
Riordan pulled her close. No matter what else happened, he was glad he had made the decision to leave Elantris. This short time with Serini was worth it.
I'm not, you know.
Not what?
Your husband. At least, the relationship is disputable. The betrothal contract said our marriage would be binding if either of us died before the wedding. I didn't die. I went to Elantris. Though they're essentially the same thing, the contract's words were very specific.
Serini looked up with concern.
I'm not trying to get out of it, Serini. I'm just saying we should make it formal, just so everyone's mind is put at ease.
Definitely. I've been engaged twice during the last 2 months, and I never got a wedding. A girl deserves a good wedding.
A queen's wedding.
Serini looked back at Kayi. The city seemed cold and lifeless, almost unpopulated. The political uncertainty was destroying the economy of Aerlon, as surely as Iaedon's rule had destroyed its spirit. Where there should have been busy commerce, only a few hardy pedestrians slipped furtively through the streets. The only exception was the great city square, which held the tents of the Aerlene market. While some of the merchants had decided to cut their losses, moving on to Teod to sell what they could, a surprising number had stayed. What could have persuaded so many to remain, to try and push wares upon a people that just weren't buying? The only other place that showed any sign of activity was the palace. Members of the Elantris City Guard had been pouring over the area like worried insects all morning. Serini had sent her Seon to investigate, but he had yet to return.
He was such a good man.
Roael? Yes, he was. The Duke was the role model I needed when my father proved unworthy.
When Kaiayan first introduced Roael to me, he said he wasn't sure if the Duke helped us because he loved Aerlon or because he was just bored.
Many people took Roael's craftiness as a sign of deceitfulness. They were wrong. Roael was clever, and he enjoyed intrigue, but he was a patriot. He taught me to believe in Aerlon, even after its many stumbles.
He was like a wily old grandfather, and he almost became my husband.
I still can't believe that. I loved Roael, but to imagine him married? To you?
I don't think we believed it either. Of course, that doesn't mean we wouldn't have gone through with it.
If only I had known what capable hands I was leaving Eirulan in. It would have saved me a great deal of worry.
And New Elantris? Is Karate watching it?
New Elantris watches itself without much trouble. But I did send Galadon back this morning with instructions to begin teaching the people Eondor. If we fail here, I don't want to leave Elantris unable to protect itself.
There probably isn't much time left.
Time enough to make sure they learn an Aeon or two. They deserve to know the secret to their power.
I always knew you'd find the answer. Domai doesn't let your kind of dedication go wasted.
Raoden smiled. The night before, she had made him draw several dozen Aeons to prove that they actually worked. Of course, they hadn't been enough to save Roael. A rock of guilt burned in Raoden's chest. If he had known the proper modifiers, he might have been able to save Roael. Eondor healing was a complex, difficult art, but he was determined to make certain no one else died because of his inability. It would take months of memorizing, but he would learn the modifier for every organ, muscle, and bone. Serene turned back to her contemplation of the city. She retained a strong grip on Raoden's waist. Serene did not like heights, especially if she didn't have something to hold on to. Looking over at the top of her head, Raoden suddenly remembered something from his studies. Reaching out, he pulled off her wig. Serene turned with questioning, annoyed eyes. But Raoden was already drawing. It wasn't a complex aeon. It required him only to stipulate a target, how the target was to be affected, and a length of time. When he finished, her hair began to grow. It went lethargically, sliding out of her head like a breath slowly exhaled. In a few minutes, however, it was finished. Her long golden hair once again reaching to the middle of her back. Serene ran disbelieving fingers through her hair. Then she looked up at Raoden with teary eyes.
Thank you. You have no idea what that means.
After a moment, she pulled back, staring at him with intent, silvery gray eyes.
Show yourself to me.
My face?
Yes.
You've seen it before?
I know, but I'm getting too used to this one. I want to see the real you.
The determination in her eyes stopped him from arguing further. Raoden reached up and tapped the collar of his undershirt with his index finger. To him, nothing changed, but he could feel Serene stiffen as the illusion fell away. He felt suddenly ashamed and hurriedly began to draw the Aeon again.
No, wait! It isn't as horrid as you think, Raoden. They say your bodies are like corpses, but that isn't true. Your skin may be discolored and a little wrinkled, but there's still flesh underneath.
Her finger found the cut on his cheek.
I did this, didn't I?
As I said, I had no idea how good a fencer you are.
It confused me terribly when I couldn't find the wound. Why does the illusion show your expressions but not a cut?
It's complicated. You have to link each muscle in the face with its companion in the illusion. I could have never figured it out myself. The equations are all in one of my books.
But you altered the illusion so quickly last night, changing from Kalu to Raoden.
That's because I had two illusions on. One connected to my undershirt and the other to my coat. As soon as I dissolved the one on the top, the one underneath showed. I'm just glad it looks enough like me that the others recognized it. There weren't, of course, any equations describing how to create my own face. I had to figure that out on my own.
You did a good job.
I extrapolated from my Elantrian face, telling the illusion to use it as a base. You're a lucky woman. Having a man who can change faces at any time? You'll never get bored.
I like this one just fine. This is the face that loved me when it thought I was an Elantrian, all rank and title abandoned.
You think you can get used to this?
Raoden, I was going to marry Roael last week. He was a dear old man, but he was so incredibly homely that rocks looked handsome when he stood next to them.
Serene looked back towards the palace.
What are they doing?
Raoden turned to follow her view. He could barely make out a group of soldiers doing something in the grounds before the building. They were laying out blankets or sheets of some sort.
Ah, it's too far! Where's Aeshi?
Raoden reached up and sketched Aeon Nei, a large circular character, in the air before them. When he was finished, the air inside Aeon Nei's circle rippled like water, then cleared to show a magnified view of the city. Placing his palm in the center of the circle, Riordan maneuvered the Aeon until it was pointing at the palace. The view unblurred itself, and they were able to see the soldiers with such detail that they could read their rank insignias.
That's useful.
The soldiers were indeed laying out sheets. Sheets with what appeared to be bodies on them. Riordan grew cold as he moved the disc along the line of corpses. The last two corpses in the row were familiar. Serini saw Lord Eondel's and Telrai's dead faces come into focus.
He attacked late last night, my lady.
The remaining members of their group, Kaiyan, Lukel, and Shudin, were gathered atop the house, watching as Riordan focused his Aeon spyglass on the funeral pyres being built in the palace courtyard. Baron Shudin sat morosely on the stone roof, shaking his head in disbelief. Serini held the young Jindo's hand in an attempt to provide comfort, painfully aware of how difficult the last few days must have been for him. His future father-in-law had turned out to be a traitor. Torine had reportedly disappeared, and now his best friend was dead.
He was a brave man.
That was never in question, Kaiyan. His actions were foolish nonetheless.
He did it for honor, Riordan. Telrai I murdered a great man last night. Eondel acted to avenge the Duke.
Revenge is always a foolish motivation, Serini. Now we have lost not only Roile, but Eondel as well. The people are left with their second dead king in the space of a few weeks.
Serini let the matter drop. Riordan spoke as a ruler, not as a friend. He couldn't afford to give Eondel leeway, even in death, because of the situation the Count had created. The soldiers did not wait on ceremony to immolate the fallen men. They simply lit the pyre, then saluted en masse as the bodies burned away. Whatever else could be said about the guard, they performed this one duty with solemnity and honor.
There.
Riordan pointed his Aeon at a detachment of about 50 soldiers who left the pyre and galloped toward Kaiyan's house. All wore the brown capes that marked them as officers in the Elantris City Guard.
This could be bad.
Or it could be good.
We should collapse the entryway. Let them try to break down my door with a ton of stone behind it.
No, trapping us inside won't do any good. I want to meet with them.
There are other ways out of the building.
Still, wait for my command to collapse your entryway, Kaiyan. That is an order.
All right, Riordan. But not because you order it, but because I trust you. My son may call you king, but I accept the rule of no man.
Serini regarded her uncle with a look of shocked surprise. She had never seen him speak in such a manner. He was usually so jovial, like a happy circus bear. Now, his face was flat and grim, covered with whiskers he had allowed to start growing the moment Iadon was found dead. Gone was the brusque but compliant chef. And in his place was a man who seemed more like a grizzled admiral from her father's navy.
Thank you, Kaiyan.
The horsemen approached quickly, fanning out to surround Kaiyan's hilltop fortress. Noticing Riordan on the roof, one of the soldiers urged his horse a few steps closer.
We have heard rumors that Lord Riordan, Crown Prince of Aerilon, still lives. If there is truth to this, let him come forward. Our country has need of a king.
Kaiyan untensed visibly. The guard officers stood in a row, still mounted, and even from the short distance, Riordan could see their faces. They were harried, confused, yet hopeful.
We have to move quickly, before that Giorn can respond. Send messengers to the nobility. I plan to hold my coronation within the hour.
Riordan strode into the palace throne room. Beside the throne dais stood Serini and the young-looking patriarch of the Carathi religion. Riordan had only just met the man, but Serini's description of him had been accurate. Long golden hair, a smile that claimed to know things it didn't, and a self-important air were his most striking features. However, Riordan needed him. The statement made by choosing the Patriarch of Shu Korath to crown him was an important precedent. Serene smiled encouragingly as Raoden approached. It amazed him how much she had to give, considering what she had been through recently. He joined her on the dais, then turned to regard the nobility of Aerilon. He recognized most of the faces. Many of them had supported him before his exile. Now, most were simply confused. His appearance had been sudden, as had Tel-Rai's death. Rumors were widespread that Raoden had been behind the assassination, but most of the people didn't seem to care. Their eyes were dull from the shock, and they were beginning to show the wearied signs of extended stress.
My lords and ladies, people of Aerilon, our poor kingdom has suffered too much over the last 10 years. Let us set it right once again. With this crown, I promise to...
Raoden felt a power. At first, he thought the door was attacking. However, he realized this was something else. Something he had never experienced before. Something external. Someone else was manipulating the door. He searched through the crowd, masking his surprise. His eyes fell on a small, red-robed form, almost invisible among the noblemen. The power was coming from him. A Dorethi priest? The man was smiling, and his hair was blonde beneath his hood. The mood of the congregation changed. Several people fainted immediately, but most simply stared. They had been beaten down so much, they had expected something horrible to happen. Without checking, Raoden knew that his illusion had fallen. The Patriarch dropped the crown as he stumbled away. Raoden looked back to the crowd, his stomach sick.
Look at him, nobles of Aerilon! Look at the man who would have been your king! Look at his dark skin and his Elantrian face! Then tell me, does it really matter? 10 years you were ruled by a tyrant because you rejected Elantris. You were the privileged, the wealthy. But in a way, you were the most oppressed, for you could never be secure. Were your titles worth your freedom? This is the man who loved you when all others sought to steal your pride. I ask you this. Can being an Elantrian make him any worse a king than Iaedon or Tel-Rai?
Serene knelt before him.
I, for one, accept his rule.
Raoden watched the crowd tensely. Then, one at a time, they began to kneel. It began with Shuden and Lucal, who stood near the front of the crowd, but it soon spread to the others. Like a wave, the forms knelt, some in a stupor, others with resignation. Some, however, dared to be happy. Serene reached down and snatched up the fallen crown. It was a simple thing, no more than a hastily constructed gold band, but it represented so much. With Sinelane stunned, the Princess of Teod took his duty upon herself, and reaching up, placed the crown on Raoden's head.
Behold your king!
One man was not cheering. Dilov looked as if he wanted to claw his way through the crowd and rip Raoden apart with his bare hands. The priest looked around him with loathing, then forced his way through the crowd and escaped through the doors, out into a darkening city. Serene ignored the priest, instead looking over at Raoden.
Congratulations, Your Majesty.
I can't believe they accepted me. 10 years ago, they rejected the Elantrians.
And found that a man could be a monster no matter what he looked like. They're finally ready to accept a ruler, not because he's a god or because he has money, but because they know he will lead them well.
Of course, it helps when that ruler has a wife who can deliver a moving speech at precisely the right moment.
True.
Raoden turned, looking out over the crowd toward the fleeing Dilov.
Who was that?
Just one of Wraithen's priests. I imagine he isn't having a very good day. Dilov is known for his hatred of Elantrians.
Something's wrong, Serene. Why did my illusion drop?
You didn't do that?
I think that priest did it.
What?
I sensed the door the moment before my Aeon fell, and it was coming from that priest. Can I borrow Aeshi?
Of course.
Serini waved the Aeon closer.
Aeshi, would you deliver a message for me?
Of course, my lord.
Find Galadon and New Elantris and tell him what just happened. Then warn him to be ready for something.
And for what, my lord?
I don't know. Just tell him to be prepared and tell him that I'm worried.
Prathan watched as Raoden strode into the throne room. No one challenged the imposter's claim. This man, Raoden or not, would soon be king. Serini's move was a brilliant stroke. Telrai assassinated, a pretender on the throne. Raithan's plans were in serious danger. Raithan eyed this pretender, feeling an odd surge of hatred as he saw the way that Serini looked at the man. Raithan could see the love in her eyes. Logically, Raithan knew his jealousy was foolish. Raithan's own relationship with the girl had been one of antagonism, not of affection. Why should he be jealous of another man? No, Raithan needed to be level-headed. Only 1 month remained until the armies of United Dorethi would wash over Aerilon, slaughtering the people, Serini included. Raithan had to work quickly if he was going to find a way to convert the kingdom with so little time remaining. Raithan pulled back as Raoden began the coronation. Many a king ordered his enemy's incarceration as a first royal decree, and Raithan didn't want his presence to give the imposter a reminder. He was, however, close enough to the front to witness the transformation.
What? How can that be?
The Sheod was supposed to come suddenly, but not that suddenly. The oddity forced him to reconsider his assumptions.
Have you been hiding in Elantris all this time, Raoden?
Raithan was shocked by the transformation, but he was even more shocked when the people of Aerilon did nothing about it.
Look at him, nobles of Aerilon! Look at the man who would have been your king!
Serini gave her speech, and people just stood dully. They did not stop her from crowning the Elantrian king.
I, for one, accept his rule.
Raithan felt sick. He turned, and by happenstance, he saw Diloth slipping away from the crowd. Raithan trailed behind. For once, he shared Diloth's disgust.
How can these foolish people act so illogically?
At that moment, Raithan realized his mistake. Diloth had been right. If Raithan had focused more on Elantris, the people would have been too disgusted to grant Raoden kingship. Raithan had neglected to instill in his followers a true sense of Yadeth's holy will. He had used popularity to convert, rather than doctrine. The result was a fickle congregation, capable of returning to their old ways as quickly as they had left.
It is this cursed deadline!
Raithan strode down Kaye's quickly darkening streets.
3 months is not enough time to build a stable following!
Ahead of him, Diloth turned down a side street. Raithan paused. That wasn't the way to the chapel. It was the way to the center of the city. Curiosity overcoming brooding, Raithan turned to follow the Arteth, staying far enough behind him so the man couldn't hear him approach. He needn't have worried. The Arteth strode through the blackening night with single-minded purpose, not bothering to look back. Dusk had almost passed, and darkness cloaked the market square. Raithan lost track of Diloth in the waning light and stopped, looking around at the quiet tents. Suddenly, lights appeared around him. 100 torches winked into existence from within dozens of different tents. Raithan frowned. Then his eyes opened wide as men began to pour from the tents, torchlight glistening off bare backs.
No. No, it cannot be.
Raithan knew those twisted figures. Arms like knotted tree branches, skin pulled tight over strange ridges and unspoken symbols. The tents and merchants had been a ruse. That was why so many Fjordels had come to the Aerilene market despite the political chaos. And that was why they had stayed when others left. They weren't merchants at all, but warriors. The invasion of Aerilon was to begin a month early. Wern had sent the monks of Decor. Raoden lay disoriented for a moment in Roile's mansion. The wedding wasn't slated to happen until the following afternoon, and so Raoden had chosen to sleep in Kalu's rooms back in Roile's mansion instead of staying at Kaiyan's house, where Serini had already taken the guest bedroom.
It sounds like fighting.
Raoden leapt from his bed and threw open the balcony doors, staring out over the gardens and into Kaiyi. Smoke billowed in the night sky, fires blazing throughout the city. Hurriedly throwing on a jacket, Raoden rushed through the mansion. Turning a corner, he stumbled across a squad of guardsmen battling for their lives against a group of demons. They were bare-chested, and their eyes seemed to burn. They looked like men, but their flesh was rigid and disfigured, as if a carved piece of metal had somehow been inserted beneath the skin. One of Raoden's soldiers scored a hit, but the weapon left barely a mark, scratching where it should have sliced. A dozen soldiers lay dying on the floor, but the five demons looked unharmed. The remaining soldiers fought with terror, their weapons ineffective, their members dying one by one. Raoden stumbled backward in horror. The lead demon jumped at a soldier and impaled him on a wicked-looking sword. Raoden froze. He recognized this demon. Though its body was twisted like the rest, its face was familiar.
Diloph.
Diloph smiled, eyeing Raoden. Raoden scrambled for one of the fallen soldier's weapons, but he was too slow. Diloph darted across the room and smashed his fist into the back of Raoden's head.
Bring him!
Make certain you deliver these tonight.
Serini pulled the lid closed on the final box of supplies. The beggar nodded, casting an apprehensive glance toward the wall of Elantris, which stood only a few feet away.
You needn't be so afraid, Hoide. You have a new king now. Things are going to change in Aerilon.
Hoide shrugged. Despite Telrai's death, the beggar refused to meet with Serini during the day. Hoide's people had spent 10 years fearing Iadon and his farms. They weren't used to acting without the enveloping presence of night, no matter how legal their intentions.
These boxes are more heavy than the ones before, m'lady!
What the boxes contain is none of your business.
Serini handed him a pouch of coins. Hoide nodded, his face hidden in the darkness of his hood.
Good night then, m'lady.
Hoide followed the train of beggars who slowly climbed the stairs of Elantris' wall. Serini nodded to Eishi.
Go! Tell them that a shipment is coming, Eishi.
Yes, my lady.
Pulling her shawl close, Serini climbed into her carriage. Hopefully, Galadon and Karate would understand why she had sent crates full of swords and bows. Raoden's apprehensive warning earlier in the day had disturbed Serini immensely.
The weapons probably wouldn't help much. The people of New Elantris are hardly soldiers, but at least I was able to do something.
Serini frowned, opening her mouth to call out a question to the coachman. Then she paused. Now that the rumbling of the coach had ceased, she could hear something. She smelled the smoke a second later. Serini pulled back the carriage curtain, poking her head out the window. She found a scene as if from hell itself. The carriage stood at an intersection. Three streets were calm, but the one directly before her blazed red. Fires billowed from homes, and corpses slumped on the cobblestones. Men and women ran screaming through the streets. Others simply stood in dazed shock. Among them stalked shirtless warriors, their skin glistening with sweat in the firelight. It was a slaughter. The strange warriors killed with dispassion, cutting down man, woman, and child alike with casual swipes of their swords.
Driver, turn us around now!
The man shook himself from his stupor, whipping at the horses to turn. Serini's yell died in her throat as one of the shirtless warriors noticed the carriage. The soldier dashed toward them as the carriage began to turn.
Take Take us away from here!
The strange warrior leapt, sailing an incredible distance to land on the carriage horse's back. The soldier crouched lithely upon the beast's flesh, and for the first time, Serini could see the inhuman twisting of his body, the chilling fire in his eyes. Serini threw open her door and stumbled out. She scrambled across the cobblestones, shoes thrown from her feet in haste. Just up the street, away from the fires, lay Kaiyan's house. If she could only... The coachman's body slammed into a building beside her. To the side, the demonic creature was a dark silhouette in the firelight as he dropped from the carriage top, prowling slowly along the street toward her. Serini scrambled away, running up the hill toward her uncle's house. Serini could see the lights up ahead, but something grabbed her ankle. Serini rolled onto her back. The twisted figure loomed above her.
Venus me beida, meida ben beida.
Something dark and massive slammed into the monster, throwing it backward. Two figures struggled in the darkness. Dazed, Serini pushed herself up, watching the shadowed forms. An approaching light soon unmasked them. The shirtless warrior was expected. The other was not.
Kaiyan?
Her uncle held an enormous axe, large as a man's chest. He smashed it into the creature's back as it wiggled across the stones, reaching for its sword. Though clearly causing the creature pain, the axe didn't penetrate far. Kaiyan wrenched the weapon free, then raised it in a mighty swing and brought it down directly into the demon's face. The creature did not stop moving. Neither did Kaiyan. Something touched Serini's arm. Lukel knelt beside her and raised his lantern.
Come on!
The pair dashed the short distance to Kaiyan's mansion, her uncle lumbering behind. They pushed through the doors, then stumbled into the kitchen, where a frightened group waited for their return. Deora rushed to her husband as Lukel slammed the door.
Lukel, collapse the entryway!
Lukel complied, throwing the lever Serini had always mistaken for a torch holder. Serini plopped into a chair, staring at the quiet room. Shudin was there, and he had managed to find Torine. Deorn, Kaeis, and Adalion huddled in a corner with Lukel's wife.
What are those things?
I don't know. The attack started just a short time ago, and we were worried that something had happened to you. We were outside waiting. It's a good thing Father spotted your coach down at the bottom of the hill.
Serini nodded, still a bit numb. Kaiyan stood with his wife in one arm, looking down at the bloodied axe in his other hand.
I swore I would never take up this cursed weapon again.
Deora patted her husband's shoulder. Despite her shock, Serini realized that she recognized the axe. It used to hang on the kitchen wall, with other mementos of Kaiyan's travels. Yet he had held the weapon with obvious skill. The axe wasn't a simple ornament, as she had assumed. Looking closely, she could see nicks and scratches on its blade. Etched into the steel was a heraldic Aeon, Aeon Rio. The character meant punishment.
Why would a merchant need to know how to use one of those?
A merchant wouldn't.
Serini knew of only one person who had used Aeon Rio, though he was more a myth than a man.
They called him Driok, the pirate Crushthroat.
That was always a mistake. The true name was Driok Crushthroat.
He tried to steal the throne of Teod from my father.
No, Driok wanted what belonged to him. He tried to take back the throne that his younger brother Evanteo stole. Stole right from under Driok's nose while he foolishly wasted his life on pleasure trips.